Well, let's pray, everyone. Father, you have given us so many gifts and so many opportunities to serve with the hands and that you've given us. And we pray, Lord, that in the times that we live in and the times set before us, we might indeed learn how to number our days, have wise hearts, make the most of the opportunities for the eternal glory of you and the well-being of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure you have been impacted this week by death. How could you not be if you are into the media? And it's just been overwhelming, hasn't it? I think I look around this auditorium today and there are a number of folk that were probably grew up listening to David Bowie. Do I kind of say that? Well, anyway. Alan Rickman, that wonderful English actor, both died at 69 of cancer. We had the news, of course, of Jakarta with the devastation there, and it just continues, doesn't it? Last week on Wednesday, I took the funeral of Aileen Justice, who was a lady coming to St Stephen's in recent times, and she was 87, had come to the end. Last Sunday, we learned that the owner of Wild Oats 11, what was his name? Bob Oatley, a multi-millionaire, died, 87. And I think it was just before Christmas here at St Stephen's, we just had one service after the other, four in a row I think it was, where we had funerals. When at a time when we were sort of wanting to celebrate the coming of Jesus and why he came, and we were in the midst of death. I don't know how Anglican a lot of you are, but in our Anglican prayer book there is a funeral service, and in that service it says, one of the things it says is, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and withers. He passes like a shadow and does not stay. In the midst of life, we are in death. Time takes its toll. And it's already the 17th of January and Christmas has come and gone in a blink, it seems. And is it just me, but it doesn't seem the days and the weeks and the months, the years just seem to go quicker as time goes on. Before we know it, our time will come. And as a minister, it's something that I get to talk about quite a bit. Not necessarily at, you know, dinner party conversation, but, you know, when I'm visiting someone, the family is deceased, and they're trying to understand what to do and the service and so forth, and there I am trying to counsel. And then, of course, at the service itself, I'm speaking about the reality of death in a culture perhaps that wants to sort of deny it. As Christians, though, we can face death quite openly. It was John Wesley, the 18th century minister, who used to speak about his Methodist believers, his flock, like this. He described them as, our people die well. He used to say that because he knew that their relationship with God was had really taken the terror out of dying and had turned it really into triumph. Every Sunday, I don't know whether you reflected on this, but every Sunday we gather to hear about death. We have a Saviour who died and who conquered death and now lives. The Christian is a person who believes that though we die, yet shall we live. For Jesus, in whom we believe and to whom we belong, is the resurrection and the life. Well, Psalm 90 appears in the Anglican funeral service, and it could well be read at your funeral. It's attributed to Moses. We think it's probably the oldest psalm. We know that Moses didn't make it into the promised land in that generation. They fell in the wilderness, and many were put to death for their rebellion. And on one occasion in their rebelliousness, a plague of snakes came into the camp. Yeah, well, you may not like these ones, Patrick, but anyway, these snakes came in, and many of these snakes bit the contemporaries of Moses, and they died. And so those who were left, what did they do? You remember the story? Numbers 21, they cry out to Moses and say, "Lord, please, Moses, please take away, pray the Lord, and that God will take away the snakes." And so it's believed that Psalm 90 is Moses' prayer for that occasion. The psalm really contrasts the brevity of human existence with the eternity of God. Time takes its toll, but God has always been, always is, and always shall be. So what I'd like to do today with you is look at Psalm 90 under those three headings. You'll see them on your outline: God's eternity and humanity's brevity, God's wrath and humanity's sin, and God's favour and being wise. I've lost count of the number of times a child's asked me that question, you know, who made God? It's really a question that is doesn't work with God, because the moment you sort of come up with someone or something, then God ceases to be God. The psalm tells us in verse 2 that really before anything existed, there was God. He goes back in time forever. He goes forward in time forever. He has always existed and always will exist. This is the Lord, that is his name, who is described there in verse 1 as the dwelling place for his people. So the psalm really is setting up this sort of dilemma. On the one hand, you've got the eternal God, and you have people who do not last. Have a look at verse 3. It says here, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" Unlike God, human beings return to dust. That's death. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. The God who gives life takes it away. And the psalm reminds us that our time is brief. Verse 4, it says, "A thousand years in your sight are like a day that has gone by, or like a watch in the night." It really reminds us to have the right perspective. Last year I buried a lady at Welby Cemetery, and she was 98. And I remember thinking at the time, that is a long life. That's a good innings, 98. But really, in God's time, it's nothing. We think 1,000 years is a long time, but for God, it's a nap. When you are from everlasting to everlasting, 1,000 years is like an episode of Days of Our Life. And it's a good reminder for us. What seems to be so long for us is so short with God. And that's really one of the points that comes out in that New Testament reading we read today in 2 Peter. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God's timing is not ours. The return of the Lord Jesus is not like one of those Persian rug stores that are forever having a closing down sale every week. He will return. Now compare this with God's timelessness. Our time is short. Time is not on our side. So verse 5, it says, "Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass in the morning. In the morning it springs up, but by evening it is dry and withered." Our lives are like a dream compared to God's eternity. like new grass gone by night. Life is short. And the psalm, therefore, points us to God and to contemplate him and to dwell with him. This doesn't remove, of course, the stark reality that death comes and troubles and toil and so forth we face in our lives, but it does show us how to face them. To find a permanent home, not in the body of this world, but in God. People die because God turns them back to dust. Time takes its toll. You spill water on the ground, it doesn't last. There's a shadow, it passes as the sun goes. And the smoke and the mist, the wind blows it and it's gone. So God numbers our days. Make sure God is your dwelling place. Jesus said, I've go to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am. And so that King David, who said in Psalm 23, as we trust in the Lord Jesus, so for us as well, we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So why is our time brief? The point number two there, God's wrath and humanity's sin. It says there in the text that God is angry because of our sins and he won't allow us to continue to rebel forever. So verse 7 it says, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. We may not like hearing this, but death is not the end of some natural process. It is divine judgment. God pays the wages for our sin, death. There's spiritual death, dead to the things of God, and there's a physical death that comes. Many people don't like hearing that. She didn't deserve to die. He was too good to die. But of course, the coffin at the funeral says otherwise. We die because God is angry. But notice God's wrath is not just at the end, but throughout all of life. Verse 8, it says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come 70 years to or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Human life is littered with trouble and toil. It reminds us that God's anger and or the strength of that anger, we don't really contemplate this as human beings. Verse 11, it says, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. We don't want to recognize this as human beings because, you see, we have no fear of God. He doesn't receive the honor and worth that is his due. Someone put it like this, that God's wrath is as great as the injustice we have done him. If someone lives to 80 or more years, most of us say, well, that's a pretty good innings. But the reality is, this is only compared to everyone else who's under the wrath of God. And then you get another year, perhaps, and another, and then the next year, it's just a year full of seeing specialists. I was reading in the Highlands Post yesterday in an obituary of a dear lady, and her name was Nancy Reynolds. And really, the obituary painted her in such a beautiful picture of her contribution to nursing and our hospital system. And her philosophy on life was quoted as this, to act as if I will live forever and to live as if I will die tomorrow. There's something very pleasing and commendable about that, to act as if I will live forever and to live as if I will die tomorrow. But without Jesus Christ, no one lives forever. We may like to think otherwise, but God's word is clear. We are destined to die, and the brief lifespan that we have is under the judgment of God. We need the life that God gives us through his Son for the forgiveness of our sins. And we need to flee to the Saviour he gave. And I trust that's what Nancy did. The psalm is telling us human beings face the consequences of God's anger, toil, trouble, and eventually death. So in view of this, what does Psalm 90 tell us to do? And that's the third point this morning, have God's favour and being wise. Verses 12 to 17, the wise person realises that life is short, that God is to be feared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the wise person is the one who seeks the Lord. And the first part of that prayer in verse 12, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Birthdays and anniversaries and holidays are very precious to me, and I'm sure they are to you. But we aren't simply to sort of count the years, but it says number the days. Compared to God, we haven't got many. And the next 24 hours might be your last. Sometimes young people never give this thought a second thought. Got many years to come. But life goes by very quickly. And if we haven't used the days that the Lord gives us to make him our dwelling place, we aren't thinking about numbering our days. It's a story of a woman interviewed on a news program and how she shared that she got over cancer, life-threatening cancer, and she survived it. But it didn't make her think, I must make the Lord my dwelling place. This is what she said. I now know I can overcome anything. Well, little did she realize that death was only postponed. She refused to number her days. Life is short. It is folly to ignore the Lord. And then the prayer continues in verses 13 to 15. It says, relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many years as we have seen trouble. The Christian who knows the unfailing love of God is able to face toils and troubles in life, even in our most darkest times filled with sorrow. For is it not the case that the God who handed out death is the God who died for us? God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were the worst, God gave us his best. God put eternity into the human heart, and only God satisfies that desire. And when Christ returns, those for whom he died will be ushered into the new creation, where death will be no more, and it will be swallowed up in victory. And because of this, we can sing this morning of our salvation song. We can be glad in our troubles because we know that God's love never fails. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. And the third part of this prayer concerns our work. Verse 16, it says, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. death really renders work meaningless. The work that counts is what lasts for eternity. It is the resurrection that brings meaning to our labours, that our labour in the Lord is not in vain. That work will not count for nothing. The only work that lasts is the work which God establishes. So give yourselves to that work. That's the work God establishes. Our service for the Lord coming from our trust in God. For if we have made God our dwelling place, we will give ourselves to his service. Like that generation in the wilderness. We may leave monuments here and there. We might leave sort of some lasting benefit here and there, some mark here and there in our time as we journey to our destination. But as we do, if our service is for him, our Lord promises eternal significance for the hands that serve him. Yes, Lord, may your favour rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Time takes its toll and death comes. You know, within 100 years, there will be very few people, if any, who will be alive to remember you and me personally. But because of the resurrection, our lives and labour for the Lord will be remembered and rewarded. God has defeated death. There is eternal significance to what we choose to do and the efforts we give ourselves to. So I say to you, don't waste your time as though this life and death is the end. Jesus Christ has conquered death. The choices that we make today and tomorrow can be made in the light of his resurrection. He has won eternal life and provides it as a gift to us who believe. We can make choices about praying more about his kingdom. We can make choices in the light of the resurrection to give ourselves to his mission where we live and work, or indeed going to wherever he would send us. We can make choices in the light of the resurrection that today might be the day when we join our Bible study group, which we've never done before. Choices about seeing people no longer from a worldly point of view, but the way God does. Choices about the fact that we come together as a church in the light of the resurrection because we're looking forward to the day of Jesus' return. Choices about you and I using the resources that God has given us that we might make friends for eternal dwellings. Choices in the light of the resurrection that will bring God glory and benefit us and his people. I wonder, as time takes its toll, and it will we find ourselves knowing that we are walking with God throughout however many days he gives? Will we find ourselves knowing that he is with us, knowing that he will take us to dwell with him as he has promised? Lord, teach us to number our days that we will have wise hearts. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us the wise way to live. Each one of us, we pray, might number our days. Thank you for the dwelling that you promise for us, O Lord, that you are the eternal God and you'll bring us there. Lord, may we serve you again in this day and again in this year. Help us, Lord, to keep that right perspective. Life is short and you are coming back. Please keep us serving to the end. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.